nation's capital, two blonde journalists who seek complete world domination. They're funny, they're informative, they're out of control. Ladies and gentlemen, Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasmar and Catherine Timms.
Welcome to the second episode of Breaking Beltway. I'm Kat Timpf.
And Jessica Chasmar.
Hanging out here Tuesday, 7 p.m. every week. You can hear us at BreakingBeltway.com. Thanks for joining us. We're going to have a pretty fun time today. We're going to talk about airsoft guns. We're going to talk about...
guns, pit bulls, Syrians, Venezuelans, Chicagoans. Yeah, we got it all covered today.
Great, crazy professors saying they want kids to die. We got a lot of stuff going on. All right, so what did you want to start with?
For the WashingtonTimes.com yesterday, I wrote an article. A seventh grade student in Virginia Beach, he was suspended from school, and actually he's facing expulsion from his school for shooting his friend with an airsoft gun in his front yard on Monday.
Oh, no.
Yes. An airsoft gun.
Something that looked like a gun.
For our listeners out there who don't know what an airsoft gun, it's basically a non-lethal replica that fires plastic pellets, and it's by way of gas or compressed gas or spring-driven pistons. So it's basically like getting hit with air.
Right. Well, look, and it's not even like he brought the gun to school. The airsoft gun to school.
We're talking about private property here.
Mm-hmm. His front yard. I mean, I remember back in my day, we used to have, like, squirt gun fights at school in, like, first grade. Now that would be horrible.
Oh, absolutely.
That would
be horrible. Even if it's neon colored, if it's plastic, it doesn't matter how fake it looks. It doesn't even have to be a gun. It could be a Pop-Tart.
It could be a Pop-Tart eaten in the shape of a gun.
I wrote an article for WashingtonTimes.com not too long ago about a little girl who crumpled up a piece of paper into the shape of a gun.
And
she was suspended for that. So, you know, things are just crazy out there. But yeah, he's facing expulsion. And what was it? Possession, handling, and use of a firearm was his reason for being suspended.
Use of a firearm? So that's on his record forever, saying that he had use of a firearm.
Well, that's the quote from the parents. The school hasn't...
Right.
The school issued a statement saying that it was 10 feet from the bus stop.
How is the kid supposed to know that?
And the parents say that it was 70 yards from the bus stop. I'm not entirely sure, but regardless, it was in the front yard.
It was his front yard.
Regardless of how close to the bus stop it was in his front yard. It did not get on the bus. He left the gun at home. It never made its way onto public property or school property once.
Yeah. And the police were involved, right? Because somebody called the police saying people are going to get scared by this kid's fake gun in the front yard.
Yeah, a nosy neighbor, actually, this is hysterical. She called the cops from across the street and actually reported these kids playing with these airsoft pellets.
But she knew that it was a fake gun. She's reporting them playing with a fake gun.
Kat, not only did she know that it was a fake gun, but one of her kids was playing over there.
Oh my gosh.
So, she said in the 911 call that, I realize that it's not a real gun, but, people might feel uncomfortable. So the cops were called. They didn't press charges, obviously.
Right.
But, they found that they were a violation of the code, if they weren't exercising reasonable care, which I guess that could mean if there's an orange indicator on the gun, that means that it's fake. If he removed the little orange indicator, things like that.
You know, how old is this kid?
I think he was 13.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing.
The two kids were suspended.
Both? The one who got shot was suspended?
Yeah. Well, the kids playing, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, was there even a bus stop rule? No airsoft guns at the bus stop? I don't really even know where they get that from. But I'm obviously a supporter of freedom in the Second Amendment.
Sure.
If I were Piers Morgan, right, I would be humiliated by incidents like this.
Absolutely.
Because they really completely destroy the legitimacy of the cause.
Well, he would be against airsoft guns because they quote, promote violence or a culture of violence or whatever BS he wants to perpetuate.
Right, yeah. I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, there's obviously a problem with gun violence. A lot of it's with mental illness. A lot of it's, there's all these issues, but this doesn't solve anything.
No.
Two kids playing in their front yard.
It doesn't. And it doesn't solve anything when you can't even, when a kindergartner can't even point his finger at a person and say bang without being suspended. You can't play cops and robbers? Are you serious?
Right.
I mean, the kids, these kids, they need some kind of outlet to play these games that they're taught when they're kids. I mean, just an example. Actually, I wrote a story yesterday. It's unbelievable. You have to see it. There's this video. They posted it to YouTube, and it apparently shows a group of Syrian children in northeastern Al-Hasaka province in, I don't even want to try and pronounce it, but it's Ras Al Ain. I'm going to pretend that's what it's called.
Yeah.
A bunch of kids. It shows them taking this little boy out into the middle of the public square or whatever, shouting Allahu Akbar with sticks, pretending like they're sawing this kid's head off.
Because he's an infidel.
And actually, I'm going to play a little clip here
of these kids.
Yeah, this is incredibly disturbing.
They're saying, glorify Allah, Allahu Akbar, over and over again. And as they're doing this, these kids are holding this one kid down, apparently an infidel who works for the blah, blah, blah brigade. It said inaudible.
You know, they're sawing this kid's head off with, you know, pretending that they're sawing this kid's head off with a stick. And they're pretending to cut off his limbs and torso while he's screaming. You know, that's what they do over in Syria for childhood games.
You know, that's what really gets me when anybody suggests, you know, be it McCain or Obama,
right,
that we're going to be able to do anything by going over there and
right,
bringing troops into there. Look how young these kids are. And
mm-hmm,
they're ingrained with, you know, these beliefs that you need to kill people who are infidels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but a bunch of white people over there are not, they're just going to make it more mad. A bunch of Americans who they already hate, who they've been taught to hate. These are the same people that their childhood games are pretending to kill. They're going to listen to them. We're going to be able to influence them.
Right.
I mean, it's the most absurd. I mean, this is not new. This is the kind
right
of thing is happening every day, and I don't know how anybody in a position of power could think that we can make any difference, or do anything but just waste our money and time, or even make it worse.
Stay out of it. I mean, you know, just the other day, an AFP reporter was fired upon by sniper rifles in Malula, and a Syrian regime fighter protected him. And if it were not for that Assad fighter, that AFP reporter would have been murdered by radical Islamists that work for, or that are fighting. There are so many different sects, and it's
right,
so segmented, and there's absolutely no way to find out, you know, who's fighting for who and why, and they're all fragmented and fighting each other. But, it you know, we have no idea who there are no good guys. That's the problem. There are no good guys, and there's no correct side to take. So let them kill each other off.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, it's just more like that'd be great if there's something we could do. It's very, very sad.
Sure.
But there's nothing we can do. I mean, there's
and
sad
okay
things
for
happening.
Helping the refugees.
There's
I'm
sad,
not okay for helping the militants.
There's sad things happening all over the world, but what are we supposed to do? When, you know, like, my beloved hometown of Detroit, Michigan is bankrupt.
Right.
And so why are we trying to solve all the world's problems?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that that's the federal government's responsibility either. I definitely was against the bailout. I think the bailout made everything worse, actually, because it didn't, you know, the car companies didn't have to change their business model. But I love my city. But, you know, it's just we have so many problems here, and we have no money, and why do we think we can be superheroes and save the world, especially when this is completely impossible?
It's true. And I mean, why bomb Syria when we can bomb North Korea?
Okay, I mean,
Kat will never agree with me on that.
No, I don't want to bomb anybody. I don't want to bomb anybody. I'm a pro-peace, non-interventionist. No, I do not co-sign with my co-host on wanting to bomb North Korea. But you do too. I saw a tweet.
You tweeted
that you're glad that women aren't the president, because you're so PMS, you wanted to bomb North Korea or something like that?
Yeah, I probably would have hit the button that day.
Oh my god.
But, you know, I want to liberate North Korea. I think that place needs to be democratized the hell out of it.
Unbelievable.
I do. North Korea is really the only one that I would consider. I don't know why. It's one of the biggest humanitarian crises of our time. I honestly believe that. But Syria, I honestly feel like it's a lost cause. We really have no side to take on that fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, we are going to leave you with a childhood favorite.
This is Jessica Chasmar's selection. This is the Jessica Chasmar selection right here.
Hey, don't throw me under the bus there.
Yeah.
whoa, that was not what my childhood sounded like. Korn? I was not a Korn fan.
Well, I went through the Korn phase.
I pretended to like Korn, so kids like you would think I was cool, but I didn't actually like it.
Oh, you were the poser kid!
I was a poser, but I liked classic punk, okay? I liked The Clash, I liked the Ramones. I wore safety pins around my neck. It was disgusting.
Oh, I did that.
It was disgusting. I could have been so pretty, but I decided to dress myself up ugly in Hot Topic clothes. And
Definitely. Yep. Definitely went that route.
So, at Campus Reform, as we talked about before, we kind of report on a lot of the crazy stuff going on college campuses.
Yeah.
This was a really big week for us. Last week, actually, the end of last week, I found a story about a professor at the University of Kansas who tweeted out that next time he hopes that, you know, the NRA, in response to what happened at the Navy Yard last week, he said, the blood is on the hands of the NRA. Next time, let it be your sons and daughters. Shame on you. May God damn you. And that's obviously pretty bad, but it gets worse. I actually talked to him on the phone, called him, and I said, you know, do you regret saying this? Would you like to take this back? And he said, hell no, twice.
Hell no.
Hell no. Hell no. I do not regret saying that.
I bet he's regretting that now.
He's regretting it now. The story blew up big time. He was
suspended. All thanks to our very own Cat Timp of Breaking Beltway.
Of Breaking Beltway, right. I mean, he was suspended, but it's probably with pay. So it's probably just like a paid vacation. But still, I mean, you can't be saying stuff like that.
Is that true? We don't know for sure if he's being paid still.
No, we don't know for sure. But I mean, if they don't tell you, then I assume that he is being paid.
Right.
They're basically probably just waiting for it to kind of blow over. But it's, I mean, people are saying it's free speech, you know, blah, blah, blah. But okay. Think of this scenario. You are the child of an NRA member sitting in his classroom.
Right.
And you happen to know that your professor had just, you know, tweeted that he hopes that you are the next victim of a mass shooting. It's not exactly the most comfortable classroom environment. Right. And students have a right to freedom of expression. Students have a right to, you know, learn in a classroom that they can feel comfortable expressing their beliefs, and this certainly did not create that situation.
Right, and there's a difference between having free speech and being an ambassador for your workplace. And he's not doing this to educate, he's doing it to instigate, and that's not his job.
Right.
You know, and even though it is from his Twitter account, you know, obviously his students are going to be following him, his students are going to be, you know, talking to him, they obviously, you know, this isn't, you can't be disillusioned into thinking this is the only time he's spoken like this.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, he's obviously been talking like this for a long time in a lot of his classes, and I'm sure that, you know, a lot of the students can definitely attest to that. So
his Twitter account also, he includes a link to his bio, his personal website, which identifies him as a professor at the University of Kansas. So, I mean, it's really kind of unbelievable. And this guy's probably, like, advocating himself as, like, you know, pro-peace, guns create violence. It's like, well, what about saying that you hope people's children are the victims?
It takes some real visceral hatred to say to someone, may God damn you. I can't think of, you know, there are only a few maybe tyrannical dictators out there that I would say that to. I definitely wouldn't say that to the NRA. I mean,
so the NRA members, not the NRA, the NRA's children. So right. The only problem that he has with the Navy Yard shooting, well, not the only problem, but one problem, one thing he would like to have changed about is that it was children.
Right.
I mean, it's just,
so if he could have go back, he would say NRA members?
NRA members' children.
Unbelievable.
He didn't say that. He said he confirmed NRA members' children. And it, like, it wasn't just a heat-of-the-moment tweet. So when he called me, when I called him and I talked to him, I assumed that's what he would say.
Right.
I assumed he would say he was upset. I did not assume that he would double down on saying that, oh, yeah, I do think that it should have been their children.
And you know what? You know why he doubled down? Because he thought he could get away with it. And you know he's been getting away with it.
Right.
Because you know that, like I said before, this is not the first time he said something about it. So he's been getting away with it. And he didn't think there would be repercussions. And thanks to you and thanks to this story getting out, there are repercussions. And he's going to have to face them.
Right. He's suspended. I mean, we're kind of hoping the whole thing doesn't get blown over. Everybody, you know, we tell people if they care about it, to call into the University of Kansas. And we're telling these students, you know, if you're an NRA member's kid, you should maybe file a harassment suit, file a discrimination suit. Because then at least the school's got to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I can't believe that you would feel... I told him, I'm with the media. And he felt this comfortable sharing that with me.
Yeah. He didn't think there would be consequences. I can guarantee it.
Yeah. I mean, I identified myself. I identified my organization.
Honestly, speaking of people who have absolutely no consequences, what was that other story that you just broke today?
Today, I received a tip and I looked into it and it wound up being true. The University of Pan Texas, your University of Texas Pan American, sorry, the president of the Young Democrats there is a convicted child molester.
Make sure you specify it's for the Young Democrats and not the actual the president of the school.
The president of the Young Democrats, yeah, at the University of Texas Pan Austin. I looked into it. It was just like on a little blog. And it actually wound up being true. I looked up his arrest records. Mm-hmm. He was convicted of first-degree aggravated sexual assault against a child. According to some newspaper reports, the kid was 8. I'm not sure, according to the arrest records.
8 years old. Oh, my God.
Yeah. According to the arrest records, we know that it was first-degree. So
this isn't
aggravated.
Like a case of statutory rape.
Right.
We're
this
talking
is
about
a child,
an 8-year-old kid.
Right. A child. First-degree. And you know, he spent fewer than 3 years for it, but he did do time for it. This is the same guy. And we did not receive comment from the school. We haven't received that much attention about it yet. But someone like this should obviously not be a leader of any kind
sure.
of group. Someone who has sexually assaulted an 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it doesn't matter. Yes, he's a president of the Young Democrats, but I don't care what group you're the president of. You shouldn't be the group of anything. You shouldn't be the group of anything if you're sexually assaulting a child.
Have the Young Democrats spoken about this or given
a
statement?
Nope, they have not responded to me. However, they are, I think, aware of it because this small blog did something about it and they had a picture of him. It's your phone. Someone's texting you.
I'm so popular.
It's not me. It's not my phone. They had a picture of him at an event, like basically trying to recruit people to vote Democratic to turn Texas blue. And they took that picture down.
Good luck with that.
Right. They took that picture down, but I still found on his Twitter, again, him tweeting back and forth with the woman that was part of this. I forget what exactly the name of the project was. Let me look it up. It was, I guess it doesn't matter. It was a chapter event. Tweeting about him being the president. Battleground, Texas. That was called, what it was mm-hmm. called. Tweeting about him, you know, being the president, and oh, he's such a good president, and blah blah blah. He identifies himself as the president, so he's definitely the president, and his arrest records definitely him. I mean, there is a person.
So they took the photo down. So obviously they know that there's some kind of a scandal.
So obviously they know because this blog contacted them. So obviously they know, but the photo of him at the event was reposted on, like, a UT Confessions page,
right.
Campus Reform. You can find all of this. I mean, we kind of are looking for some, you know, help to get the word out here. This was not posted out there too long ago, but still, it's something that shouldn't be allowed to go on.
Right.
I mean, do you want...
And what's even crazier about it is it took somebody like you finding a story and not somebody within the group of local Democrats to be like, hey, this is kind of messed up.
Right.
And to not even try and vet this guy.
So there's, I mean...
They just elect this guy as president of their club without vetting him or knowing who he is or where he came from or...
He was volunteering as some sort of charter school a few years back. And so there was like a little bit of local media about it.
Mm-hmm.
They would have had to Google him. To figure
and,
this out.
And, you know, progressives are really into, you know, reform and rehabilitation.
Right, he's a reformed child molester. I'm
so,
not
yeah,
buying it.
So
there's no
maybe,
such thing as a reformed child molester.
Maybe they do know, and they just don't care. And they think that he, you know, whatever. He served his time. He's paid his debt to society. Let him loose on, you know, the campus, whatever.
He did
maybe that's what they think. I mean, maybe, you know.
He did a lot less time than some people do for, like,
for
selling
much,
weed.
Much less.
For, like, selling weed.
3 years.
Fewer than three.
For sexually assaulting an 8-year-old?
Yeah. Yep.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And inexcusable. Absolutely
yeah.
inexcusable. And, yeah, this guy's running the local Democrats. And, you know, the party affiliation has nothing to do with it.
Right,
this is
exactly.
Disgusting.
It's disgusting. I don't
and
care
if
what
this person
is.
Were to be running any group on any campus, I can imagine that campus reform would vet that person as well, because that's not acceptable on our campuses.
Absolutely. It wouldn't matter. It just so happens that, you know, the title of the group has Democrats in it. That's
I
got to
tell
fault.
You, the picture of this guy is creepy.
Yeah, he's very creepy looking. His Twitter handle, we looked it up, post on here, it's Crimson Billy.
Oh, dear.
So at Crimson Billy. Feel free to also tweet at Crimson Billy and tell him how you feel. I don't know if it's...
Tweet Crimson Billy, the sex offender who runs the local Democrats.
You can tweet, you can, you know...
Texas Pan-American.
Young Dems, A-T-U-T-P-A, is the Young Democrats chapter's Twitter. Tweet at them. They tweeted recently, he's the great president of the Young Dems. Well,
they love him.
The great child molester president. Yeah. There's no such thing.
Chimo.
I'm sorry. If you're a chimo, you do not get to run a campus group. Right. Period. I mean, I don't care. He got out in 2006. That's not even that long ago.
2006?
He was released in 2006 from jail. And really? Really? Just a couple years later?
Yeah.
I mean,
he served his time, but that should kind of, I mean, yeah, I absolutely agree. And it should be a duty of the local Democrats to vet their president.
Yeah, and it should be the duty of them to do something about it now, because...
Yeah, and now that they know, they're on blast now. And if they don't do anything, then there's going to be a serious problem, because this makes that campus look really bad.
It makes the campus look disgusting. And this guy's, like, laughing in their faces. There's a picture on the post, campus reform, from his Facebook on July 31st, and it's him with like five kids, you know, smiling at a restaurant.
Oh my god.
So this guy, I don't know who these kids are, I don't know the stories, but this guy.
Are they young kids?
They're young kids. You can see right there. I mean, we had to blur out their faces, so you can't really see how young they are, but that's why we blurred out, because they're very young kids.
Right.
So this guy clearly seems to be almost laughing in the face of all of this. He's used a couple different aliases, but like, you know, Billy versus Billy Wayne versus Billy Wayne the Third, Billy Wayne Johnson. So it's not, you know, I guess that might be able to do something with search engines, but if you look up his arrest records, it's right there. We also have links to the arrest records. You can come look for yourself. You kind of got to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
You kind of got to see to believe it, that this guy is actually still running this campus group, despite the fact that he is a convicted, not just a convicted sex offender. This isn't like urinating in public.
Right.
This is a first degree aggravated sexual assault of a little kid.
Yeah.
This is disgusting.
Yeah.
And these are the people we have leading our next, you know, generation or whatever of leaders on our campuses. And we should not stand for that.
Now, is it true that he doesn't have to be, he's not employed by the school, he's just the president of the group that's
He's the president of the group, right, but...
But he's not employed by the school?
I'm not exactly sure how all of that works.
We'll find that out, because that's a big deal. And we're going to have to hammer University of Texas Pan-American if that's the case.
But here's the thing.
And if not, you have to go up after the young Democrats.
Regardless of that, it's a school-sponsored group, so it doesn't matter. So regardless of whether or not he's receiving a salary, the school is still sponsoring the group and is still sponsoring him as the president.
Mm-hmm.
It's a campus group, campus activities, they're on campus, they get campus funding.
Yeah.
So, if you're a student there, you'd probably be really, really angry, and this is, you know, anyone in Texas should be really angry about this.
All right, kids, you got it. You're at Crimson Billy, and tweet the heck out of him.
Crimson Billy.
And also, tweet the heck out of the University of Texas Pan American, because that's kind of messed up. Their acronym is UTPA. I don't know how you can look that up easier, but yeah, that's kind of messed up, and we should find out, we should get to the bottom of that.
All right, so
we're gonna bring you another musical break.
Can I play the song?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know what song to play. I was listening to this song on the metro on the way over here, and it was pretty embarrassing. I listened to it like 3 times in a row. I was really worried that someone could hear me, because it's really embarrassing. So
been there.
We'll have to see what everybody else thinks.
It's only
Just when you thought that song couldn't possibly be any more flamboyant, you just add a little techno. I like it. It goes really good with this Trader Joe's wine that we're drinking right now. Right?
Trader Joe wine. What is this anyway? This is Nero Devola. It's crap, is what it is.
Here's the thing. No, I didn't get a twist off, okay? I walked right by the $2
Hey, twist offs are okay.
I walked right by the $3 wine, and I said, you know what? No, you're special. I'm going to get the $5 wine.
Only the $5 wine for Breaking
only
Beltway.
Only the finest $5 wine for Breaking Beltway. Whatever, I'm on a budget.
For those of you who have Trader Joe's, because I had no idea what Trader Joe's was until I moved here.
Mm. It's like cheap Whole Foods.
Yeah. It's actually awesome. I love it.
Whole Foods is the most depressing place to go
into. Whole Foods is horrible. You walk out of that place and you want to kill yourself.
I hate myself. I walk out with my cat. Cool. Like, you got all this organic rice for like $15 and you're just going to eat it and then you're just going to go get ice cream after and it's pointless. Like, it's not like I'm living a healthy lifestyle.
Right.
If I was living some sort of a healthy lifestyle.
It's not only that, it's the people you have to deal with when you go there.
Yeah, people who are living a healthy lifestyle.
Right, exactly.
I don't want to like hang out with people. Everyone's gluten-free, this gluten-free, gluten-free.
And nobody even knows what gluten is.
Nobody even knows what gluten is. Like, do you have celiac?
Seriously, what's a
probably
gluten?
Probably not.
Hey, to ask somebody to explain to you what gluten Why is the gluten-free? Next time they're buying gluten-free something.
I just feel so much better when I don't
eat it. Yeah, I don't know. I feel rejuvenated and revitalized.
So you need a hobby.
Yeah. Because,
like, if you have time to sit there, you see people, like, they Instagram while they're gluten-free. #paleo. #.
Yeah, oh, look what I did. Carb-free this. Oh, I did. I did fat-free Monte Cristos on French bread.
#clean. #train dirty. Well, the thing is, if you look at Trader Joe's, they have a lot of that stuff, too. Like, the gluten-free cookies, the gluten-free brownies, the gluten-free bread. It's got the exact same amount of calories as regular
bread.
Yeah,
oh, good-for-you pancakes. Oh, yay. Healthy French toast. Yeah, this is good for you. These are good for you, chocolate fudge brownies. These will make you skinny.
Just because it's got no gluten or has a bunch of fake sugar doesn't mean it's good for
you. These are vegan, non-dairy, non-gluten, and they'll totally rock your world. They'll change your life.
Side note, though, pumpkin pie-flavored Froyo is coming out.
I've heard about
Frozenio, because of me on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be out Wednesday.
See, that's how incestuous this is.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I hear about things through other people who know Kat. I mean, it's ridiculous. This is how Inside the Beltway works. Everybody knows each other. It's ridiculous.
But I've been calling all of the Froyo places in the DMV every morning. Do you have pumpkin pie Froyo yet? Do you have pumpkin pie Froyo yet?
Oh my God, it sounds really good.
Yeah, you put in the, you have pumpkin pie pieces and whipped cream and the candied walnuts or pecans or whatever. That's right. Wednesday.
Is it fat-free, sugar-free, gluten-free?
It's fat-free, I think. The yogurt is. But then you put whipped cream on it and pie. I put pie on it.
You put pie on it.
Last time I got it, I spent $12 on it.
I'll have some pumpkin pie ice cream with a side of pie.
And they weigh it, so, like, that's disgusting that I spent $12.
I feel so skinny.
Yeah. Froyo. So, I'm excited for that. I'm going to call them again tomorrow. They're going to start to be like, is this the pumpkin pie girl again? Everyone on this podcast is going to think I'm so obese. They don't see pictures. Like, oh.
For those of you who don't know Kat, you will hear me calling her a fatty many times. And it's not because I'm a sizist, but it's because Kat weighs as much as my left hock. I mean, seriously, she's the tiniest person I've ever seen in my life.
Food. So you're the one who wants to talk about pit bulls.
You know, it's not really something that, like, okay, pit bulls. It's something that I like to provoke people every once in a while. I like to get people all up in arms, you know. It's kind of my MO. And something that I really like to do is to poke fun at the pit bull owners because for some reason they are really, really, really emotional. And they're very short-tempered. And yeah. I don't know, today was just a good day for it, or yesterday, because three people were attacked by pit bulls all over the country yesterday. A little special needs toddler, a two-year-old boy, was ripped to shreds by three pit bulls in someone's home, in a babysitter's home. Also, in Queens, a woman was attacked by a pit bull in her friend's home. And then a three-year-old boy on Monday was attacked by a pit bull in Arkansas. And, you know, one thing that I noticed about these three stories from Monday is that they were all attacks that were done on somebody that was entering the pit bull's territory.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know too much about the breed, but I have noticed, you know, the statistics are there. And they may not have the highest attack rate. I don't know if they do, but they do have the highest kill rate. And 61% of fatalities by dog bites are by pit bulls. And the statistics can't be denied. So, you know, a lot of times this argument that I get into with people is, you know, oh, it's the pit bull's fault. Oh, it's the owner's fault. And I don't think that's even a necessary debate. And it's not fruitful. It's the chicken or the egg. What the problem is with the dogs themselves and what to do with them now that they're bred or now that they're in the owner's hands.
Right. See, here's the thing. Okay. My family lives in a suburb mm-hmm. of Detroit. Right. We have a neighbor that has a pit bull named Medusa,
mm-hmm.
which is not necessary in Macomb, Michigan. It's not necessary, okay? And we have a little poodle. We have a little poodle who likes to run around the yard. And before he's gotten, and this is, of course, our fault, you know, gotten off the leash or whatever and gone into the other yard. And we are always horrified by this. He's going to get eaten. And it's, you know, our question is this dog is really, it barks all night. It's vicious. It's a vicious dog. It's bit somebody already.
It's bitten somebody.
Already. And here's the thing. But this, it's a pit bull, yes. However, the owners of this dog, first of all, it lives outside. It never goes inside. And mm-hmm. this is Michigan.
Yeah.
This is Michigan.
Dogs need to be socialized. They can't just be thrown outside. Not only that, but
it's freezing. Mm-hmm. It gets so cold. In the Detroit area, it gets freezing in the winter, and this dog is only outside. He's chained up. They've named the dog Medusa, so they're
trying, setting it up for failure. Right
trying
away.
To make some sort of evil machine. So I don't know. Like you said, it's like you know,
and it's a status symbol. I'm sure in Detroit.
Oh, like what kind of people are you know out there getting pit bulls? I mean, a lot of the times it is people. I want to be a badass.
Yeah,
and I want to get
you
want to
protect
bull.
Your stuff.
Yeah,
I want to protect your property.
I want to get a cool dog. I want to get a badass dog because I'm a badass guy. Like, you know. Right. So, I mean, if those people got any kind of dog, who knows what it could be. And then, okay, so pit bulls are the most dangerous. Rottweiler is the second most dangerous. People get those. So, you know, but then, okay, so what? If there's regulations on those two dogs, people are just going to start getting Doberman Pinschers and making them, you know.
Right, exactly. And, you know, there's nothing.
Naming a Medusa.
There's nothing really to prove whether it is the chicken or the egg. And, you know, there's so many different dogs. When they're in that pack mentality, it doesn't matter what kind of a dog they are. I watched a black Labrador rip apart my 17-year-old cat.
Oh, no. How are you here with me today?
We're talking about a black lab. And black labs are friendly dogs. They're, you know, you don't really see that in the news, you know. But this is a dog that had escaped from its home and was with another dog, and it's that pack mentality. They were roaming the streets, and they saw something, and they attacked it. And, you know, that's any dog. I'm not saying this is just about pit bulls, but you cannot deny that these dogs attack with the most ferocity.
Right, but you can also not deny that a lot of the people have pit bulls. Not everybody. I have a lot of family with pit bulls. I know you do, too. A lot of the people that get pit bulls are people that get dogs that they want to be killing machines. Like, mm-hmm. Well, my grandma actually lives, like, in the city of Detroit. Lots of people have these dogs because they want the dog to tear apart whoever comes in the door.
Absolutely.
The dog
doesn't know. To protect their drugs, their guns, their, you know.
Right, and that is the case not always, of course. There's
in
always,
Detroit.
But in a lot of places, including Detroit.
In a lot
Detroit,
of the major cities.
It is the case, and they're meant to be killing machines. So I don't know what was the case with this last, you know, as much as what is this, badrap.org. They show pictures of the pit bull with the old lady. I'm sure that's the case too. And I hate regulations, man.
Absolutely.
I hate like
too.
Any kind of government regulations. I don't want government regulating dogs.
But you know, people, I couldn't agree more. But you know, if they want to hammer guns so badly, and these are inanimate objects that are in the full use of its owner, then, you know, then these, the owners of this child, this 2-year-old toddler that was ripped to shreds at the babysitter's house that housed 3 pit bulls inside of the home,
I think that that babysitter and the parents need to be probed, absolutely, and investigated and charged if they need to be. Who are they putting their 2-year-old special needs child into a home with 3 pit bulls?
Why do you need 3 pit bulls, man?
Inside of the house. 3 pit bulls, inside man? Of the house. Not only were they inside of the house, there were also 4 other siblings inside of that house.
Dude.
You're talking about a chaotic situation. And I honestly, I think this is criminal negligence. I can't look at it in any other way. And, you know, it's not even going against pit bulls. All I did was post this story. That's all I did. And it turned into this huge fight over pit bulls and the breeds and the owners and this and that and this and that and the other. And then I gave some evidence of other pit bull attacks just today. 2 other attacks on other sides of the country. I don't know if it's the breed. I don't know enough about the breed. I'm not a vet. I don't know, you know, but it's something to be looked at. And when you see this happening over and over and over again, 60% of fatalities, you know, who knows? Something needs to be done. Something needs to be done. Whether you know, we need to regulate that they have to be trained, or whether...
Yeah, but you don't want that. Okay, and the slippery slope argument is a slippery slope. Because I hate the slippery slope argument. I hate it, stupid. But, you know, you don't want the government, once it gets to regulate pit bulls, and it can regulate your dogs, it can regulate...
I know, and that's why I'm having such a hard time with it. But it's like, why are these toddlers... I mean, all the time. Just this year, there have been 18 deaths, and 15 of them were by pit bulls. This year. So, I don't want to regulate them either.
You don't want any gun regulations, though.
I do want gun regulations, just not...
Well, not... Well, right. I don't mean not new. I don't mean new gun regulations. I don't mean I can go outside of the vending machine and buy an assault rifle. That's not what I meant.
I do think that guns should be regulated to an extent. Not even the extent that they are now. I think it's ridiculous. But I do think that they should be regulated to an extent. And, you know, and also with these pit bulls, they have been regulated in many different cities, and it hasn't really proven fruitful. So, I don't even know if that's the situation. I mean...
Well, to be honest, how many times do you hear, oh, my pit bull, like, I hear a lot.
It's the best dog ever.
My pit bull, and also, oh, like, oh my gosh, if I had a dollar for every time I saw a free pit bull puppy sign in Detroit.
Oh my God, that's all there are.
It's like, you want a free pit bull puppy, you want a free pit bull puppy, you want a free...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's got something to do with it, too. It's just like these, oh my gosh.
Detroit is a very unique situation, too, because it just went bankrupt, and there's so many stray
dogs
everywhere.
There are dogs.
And you know. Most of them are going to be those status symbols of toughness.
Right.
And that makes them all the more dangerous because they're roaming the streets in packs and they're living in houses on their own, unmitigated.
Yeah, the truth is, groups of pit bulls, and the sadness is
they need to be exterminated. Yeah. They have to be. Yeah. And that's the sad part of it, but they need to be. And that brings us to our next song that is dog-centric. This is Atomic Dog by George Clinton, baby.
A Jessica Chasmar selection.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. For the dog that chases its tail will be busy. These are clapping dogs, rhythmic dogs, harmonic dogs, house dogs, street dogs, dogs of the world unite, dancing dogs. Yeah, kind of dog, funky dog.
Yeah. one more side face to guy. Nothing but talking me. One more stop, feel like that. One more stop, face to guy. Nothing but talking me. One more stop, feel like that. One more stop, face to guy. Nothing but talking me. Do the dog catcher, do the dog catcher,
do the dog catcher, dog catcher, do the dog catcher,
do the dog catcher,
do the dog catcher.
Ooh, why must I feel like that? Why must I chase the cat?
Nothing but the dog in me.
Yeah, so George Bush is back in the news.
Okay.
Yeah, he hit back at conservatives today who criticized the president for his frequent golf outings in the mid of an economic crisis.
Good. I mean, there's always a crisis. I mean, let the dude, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what Bush said. He was basically just like, you know, give the guy a break. You know, there's a lot of pressure. He's got to get out there and do something. And unfortunately, you know, he's in the public eye constantly. Well, maybe not, unfortunately. That was a slip.
That's a good thing.
But, yeah, you know, Bush, shortly after we invaded Iraq, he stopped doing that. He stopped doing the public golf outings, and it was because he wanted to be tasteful. And actually, a quote from him is, "I don't want some mom whose son may have recently died to see the commander-in-chief playing golf." And I think that's a pretty classy statement. And, you know, I'm not really faulting Obama for playing golf, but I do think that he kind of, you know, when he spent that lavish vacation up in Martha's Vineyard not too long ago, you know, while we're dealing with all this serious stuff, and I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, Bush still during that time did some leisurely activities, of course. I mean, I think that it's so stupid, basically, when conservatives focus on that.
Oh, yeah.
When there absolutely. Are, because it makes conservatives look ridiculous.
So petty.
It makes it look petty. Meanwhile, we have, you know, him illegally going through our email.
Right.
And we're like, dude plays golf too much. Look at him playing golf again.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Now nobody's listening to anything you say.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Because because they hear, oh, you're the same person who doesn't want him to play golf, you don't want to give him a break.
And it's not that it doesn't carry any weight, it's just that that rhetoric is dead now. I mean, move on to something different. I mean, I blast him for something that's actually legitimate. It was fun to make fun of him for playing golf for a little bit, but come on.
The only thing I'm not sick of him playing golf is being like, "Duh, you do play golf."
I think just, you know, why this was even brought up was just because some people feel like he's putting it in our faces, you know, he's out, you know, having a grand old time while we're all suffering and, you know, pinching our wallets or whatever. But, you know, I don't think it's everybody needs some kind of an outlet. Everybody needs some kind of a voice. Not even a voice.
I mean, that was the wrong word. I see the point, especially since he's always attacking, you know, people for having money. And, I'm just like you. Like, no, you're not. You're not like me, okay?
No.
You're not like me at all. I had a Luna bar for dinner. What'd you have for dinner? Probably not that.
Right.
My dinner cost 99 cents. Probably not yours.
Yeah, we're drinking $4.99
wine. You probably did not drink Trader Joe wine and have a Luna bar. And that's okay. You're the president.
Yeah.
Like, you're well, also
not
kicking...
Don't pretend like you're an average Joe and you're on my level.
Right, you're not on my level. Like, you didn't take public transit, you know, and eat your Luna bar. And no, you didn't. You were around, you know, getting show around Air Force One. But, and that's fun. Like, you're the president. You don't need to be, you know, retweeting Magic Johnson about Obamacare a couple weeks ago. He was like,
what?
Magic Johnson tweeted something about Obamacare, and he, like, retweeted it, like, some basketball pun, and then tweeted it out. It's like, we get it, Obama, you're the cool guy.
Oh,
you're
my
so
God.
Cool. It's like, it's just, like, crazy. He's, like, treating it like it's, like, a student council, and he's trying to be the coolest kid in school on the student council.
I wrote an article in when I was in 2006, I think it was, and it ended like that. It was like, I'm sorry, but stop making us pay for you being a nerd in high school, because it really feels like it was when he went on that apology tour and all that, like when he first became president in 2008, after that. But you know, it's exactly it. It's like he's trying to appease everybody and make them like him. You know, I'm the coolest guy ever.
And yeah, my wife's gonna be on the cover of Vogue, and I'm gonna be on the cover of Rolling Stone with my jacket slung over my shoulder.
They're the most unexposed couple on the planet, right?
Yeah, right. I never see Michelle. I never see Barack ever.
And the most overrated arms I've ever heard of in my life. What are so great about her arms?
I prefer my SpongeBob arms.
In case you guys don't understand what we talk about when it comes to SpongeBob arms, those are Kat Timpf's arms. We call them SpongeBob arms.
I have about enough muscle to lift my arm and put it back down. One of my coworkers was giving me so much crap. We like hosted this picnic or whatever, 4th of July, and someone was like, "Hey, Kat, can you hand me those clipboards real quick?" And I look back and they're like, "No, don't do it. You just made her burn a calorie. You just made her burn a calorie."
It's true. She looks like she's an Auschwitz.
That's not very nice.
I know.
It's not very nice.
But you're Polish. I have to.
Right. That's what makes it less nice.
I know. I only make fun of you because you're Polish.
I am so proud of being Polish. Polish people know how to party. I have a t-shirt that says
that. Hey, man, you guys know how to eat, too.
We do, man. I love starches.
I also wanted to talk about this one jerk face. I can't say the other word because I really want to say it, because this guy is a real ass.
Family friendly.
He really is, because I mean, okay, this pro football player used to be a offensive, or was it defensive? It doesn't matter. Tackle for the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah.
He's not signed anymore, but apparently he took to Twitter today because he doesn't think that military members have any skills. He thinks that he's more skilled than those in the military. He responded to a tweet that said, quote, "Hard to believe that a player in a helmet defending a football makes more money than a soldier in a helmet defending his country." And Mr. Atayo Tyneski, I have no idea how to pronounce it, but he used to work for the Dodge Rams, the St. Louis Rams. It's that wine that the Trader Joe's wine.
Wow. I still have a half a glass. Is yours gone?
He basically said that it doesn't take much skill to kill someone. That's what he tweeted to this guy.
Yeah.
So basically what he's saying is that it doesn't take much skill to kill somebody.
Right, that's disgusting. I mean, okay, what about, like, emotional fortitude? I mean, obviously as scary as it might be to lose a game, probably a lot more scary to lose your life. So, you know, even if you live, you have post-traumatic stress is a huge thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it took a whole lot of skills for you to tweet that from your Twitter account. I think it's kind of ridiculous. And, of course, a lot of people weren't very happy with that, obviously, and were demanding an apology. And one guy said, the epitome of ignorance, and retweeted him, and he said, the football player, he said, "You must be in the military, huh?" Like a tongue-in-cheek kind of, Yeah, "You must be in the military, huh?" Like it's a, like it's an insult, you know, like, "You must be in the military, you're a born, a natural born killer," kind of thing is what he's saying. It's kind of ridiculous.
I mean, I don't know what are you trying to do by talking crap on the military? What do you think that's going to get you?
Right, right.
Because you're irrelevant?
And you know what, you know what really makes me angry? Is this guy is an unsigned free agent in the NFL, right?
Right, like,
and he has a verified Twitter account.
I know, with his 200, so
he has 200 followers.
Everybody out there, please make fake Twitter accounts of me.
I mean, really?
And try to destroy my life.
How is it? I mean,
well, not destroy my life, but make fake Twitter accounts being like, "I suck."
I've had several people try to imitate me, and they get shut down very quickly. But they try to actually imitate me.
I know. I have a fake Facebook person, mm-hmm. and their birthday's in like February something. And every single year in February, some of my idiot... Because they've added a lot of my friends.
Oh.
Some of my idiot friends are like, "Happy birthday. Happy birthday." So I always, like, post something like, "I appreciate it."
See, I think there's a couple of people out there. I think it's the same couple of people that are imitating me constantly, because they're accounts that are created and they get shut down quickly.
Yeah.
But you know, I have 100,000 followers on Twitter. There should be a certain point where I should be verified. When I'm working for a legitimate national news organization, I have 100,000 Twitter followers and I'm a public citizen. I mean, at what point should I have a verified Twitter account so people know that it's me? I mean, I have people named Jessica Chasmar. There are, you know, I've done searches, Google searches. There are no other Jessica Chasmars, and they're tweeting stuff from me. So it becomes a problem. But this guy with 200,
he's... Okay, I have almost 2,000, so I'm going to need some more followers.
Yeah, KC Timpf.
Yeah, KC Timpf. Follow me, man. I really want 2,000.
Spell your last name.
T as in Tom, I, M as in Mary, P as in Penguin, F as in Frank.
You missed the M, dude.
Man. Scratch that. Scratch that. I'm watching Colbert. Colbert's on.
Colbert's on right now. All right. Mute.
K, T as in Tom, I didn't miss it. I said M as in Mary. As in Penguin, F as in Frank.
Oh. And you can follow me at Jessica Chasmar.
Because you need more followers.
Right? And we are airing every Tuesday night at BreakingBeltway.com.
7 p.m. That's it for this week, but you can catch us next week. Same time, same place.
Yeah, we're going to have my coworker Douglas Ernst on next week to talk about all sorts of man-centric topics. So you guys are definitely going to want to
tune
into that.
Even manlier things than we talk about.
Yes.
All right, that's it. See you guys next week.
Interrupting all programs. This is a Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite. Orbiting your living. In the Bill of Rights, Cuban army surplus or refusing of the lights. This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite. Yeah! Beep, beep. The sound is not subscribed to the international plan. Shadow of the white right hand. Them that see ghettoology is an urban Vietnam, giving deadly exhibitions of murder by napalm. Save us, not the whale. This is Radio Clash.
sometimes.